We don't have a lot of time, and I just want to jump into this today. Some people say, well, do you notice when you do this? I do notice, and I just forget. Sometimes I get so excited when I preach, I say things like, let me just be honest with you. Like, I'm not honest all the time, right? Sometimes I just say those things because I'm going fast, but I'm just going to say this. It's not just, when I say that, it's not about me just being honest, it's about me being personal. And I want to be, the one thing I want to say to you, our watermarkers, or whatever we're going to call you guys, which I love watermarkers, is this. I love that we as a church, the Watermarker Church, Watermark, I believe that there's something about being just honest and real as possible. Because if we're not walking our faith that's why I love when Dan just shared about that. I'm like, yes. Like, there is this vulnerability that comes that creates a proximity to one another. Do you guys hear that? In vulnerability, we create proximity. And sometimes we feel distant from people, and we actually blame them. Here's my soapbox. Hear me on this. Sometimes we say, well, I'm not connected. I don't have a lot of friends. And sometimes it's not about being connected. It's we're not allowing ourselves to be connected. You guys hear me on this? We're not maybe not allowing. I'm not saying you got to be open with everybody, but there's a relationship that begins to be built. The question I have for us today is this, if we're going serious, is why did Jesus even come? Think about this. Now, big picture, we understand Jesus came so that we may have life. Jesus came so that he can restore what God starts to recreate, so we can have salvation, that he came and lived, and he died on a cross, and he rose again to give us grace that we can spend eternity with him. That is one of the purpose, but I also believe in my heart, one of the greatest things is to restore relationship with God's people that God formed from the beginning, that the garden and evil separated. To build relationship back up with God's people, to bring that back. Because think about this, when the Garden of Eden was there, this is that God walked with Adam and Eve. Think about that. Can you imagine that? God walked. That God was in, not God was there, not that his whole presence was there, but that he was present, that he walked with them, that God's creation from the beginning was to have, he came to have relationship. He came to be part of the relationship. And listen, we have a hard time with intimacy. We in our culture have a hard time. It's interesting because we want to know people. We want people to know us. But deep down inside, hear me out, we have these questions that nag us, like, would they still love me if they knew me? If they really knew the things that I don't tell everybody, the secret things, would they really love me? And so would they accept me if they truly knew what's inside of me or what I did? Would they really love me if they knew my past? And so we desire intimacy, but we're also scared of it. You guys, am I the only one that we work through this? It's interesting because we have this deep longing in our life to be known and to know. Like, we want to be known, but we're afraid to be known. We have this longing. It's like, this is why I believe in all my heart, this is why I believe social media is huge, like Facebook and Instagram and all stuff is big, because we can let people know stuff about us that we want them to know. Like, we can be real about, I'll give you for instance, I was going to post this picture, and like, I'm not going to bring it. But we're sitting with Sully in a hospital, and because of his surgery, he is like, when I post pictures this week, it's literally of Sully's like head up pretty much. Like his chubby face and, you know what I'm saying, like all the cuteness. But when you change his clothes, there is like ostomy bag here, the scar here, scar here, scar here, blood here, scar here. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? There's stitches on his bum. Like there is a catheter coming out. It's amazing because we show people what we want to reveal, but even though it's still somewhat real, we cap it off at a certain point. That we say we're expressing ourselves, but we can control the depth that we reveal to other people. We can share that it's a bad day, but we're not even sharing why it's a bad day. We can share why we're getting frustrated, but we're not sharing the deep down. We can share an emotion or emoji, but we're not sharing about the real hurt that's going on underneath. It's amazing because this is not really true intimacy. It's not like, I compare it this way. It's like going to my house and looking in my windows, but never coming in. It's like you can see a little bit inside, but you really don't know the inside. It's amazing because I do believe with all my heart, God desires that we know him and we allow him to know us. I believe it's important for us to know that God wants to know us and we need to know him. And I love this quote that says this way. John Thornton says this: Jesus didn't come to start a religion about God. He came to restore a relationship with God. It's amazing because to me, people would say, well, I'm not about religion. But I believe God came not because it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. Religion is something that we do, but a relationship is something that you are. To say, like, it's cool to say that you go to church. It's cool to have a Bible on your mantle. But it's another thing to say, I'm a child of God. It's another thing to say that you walk with the Lord. It's interesting to me because he desires to be known. And he desires to have a relationship with us. One of my favorite scripture verses, when I was at North Central, I came upon this verse. I've read it so many times. Philippians 3:10, if you have your Bibles, you can take them out too if you want to look at it with me, but it's going to be up on the screen. Philippians 3:7 through 11, and I came upon this because I start studying Paul and his missionary journey and the stuff that he was going on. And he was a person who that wherever he went, either a revival broke out or a riot broke out. Here's a guy who just trusted the Lord, was changed, and before he found the Lord, he was killing Christians. And then along the way, he saw these miracles begin to happen. Saw many signs and wonders. And then it says this, and it says chapter 3, verse 7 says, this is Paul writing, it says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Can I just say that? Stop there for a second. He's literally saying, I count all things lost compared to knowing Jesus Christ. For the sake, I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may know, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law or religion, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And this is my favorite part. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. He's literally going in, he's literally saying, I count all things garbage, even good things, compared to knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Anything, any miracles I saw, anything that may happen, I count it all rubbish compared to the main thing, to walking with the Lord. He says, I want to know you, no matter what. I want to know you. I want to know you in this deep way. He's pretty much saying, Lord, I just want to know stuff about you. I don't want to know stories, but I want to know you. So I'm just going to park here for a second. I just wanted you to know, I believe that our world is filled with information, and what we need is revelation. I believe that we need more revelation, not just information. Information is that what we're bombarded by. Now listen, just some things you know about me. When I go hikes and go running or whatever, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I like the information. I want to know. I want to know what people are learning through scripture or listen to different things and, you know what I'm saying, or just talking about going through leadership or different things. I like to learn. I like to grow. I like to watch documentaries like that. I'm weird like that. I like to learn and grow. And so we are filled with information. And also that we're filled with information about God. We read books, which is all good. We do studies, which is all good. We do Bible studies, and we do life groups. This is all good. It's not saying it's bad. Information is good. But the problem with it is we can sound smart and we can sound like we have it together, but if we have information without revelation, we kind of miss the point of having information. We kind of miss the point of, listen, you can memorize this till you're blue in the face, but if all this is information and it's not revelation and it's not doing something that changes you, then what's the point? Revelation begins to happen in our lives when something becomes real. I love it because revelation is this. Revelation is what God says. Information is what people say. So the question I have is, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to this? Revelation comes through your personal relationship with Jesus. It's not saying, what is Jarvis going to share this week? The important question is, what is God going to speak to your heart this week? The important question is, it's great to learn from somebody, but it's more important to hear from the Lord yourself and saying what God is showing me. Matthew 11:29, I love this. And the NIV says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for my soul, your souls. The Message Bible says it this way. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Isn't that awesome? I love he says, walk with me. There's something about just going for walks. Anybody? My wife, she's not here, so she's going to listen to us and go, really? My wife's favorite thing with in life is when we go for family walks. I'm like, they're cool. Now listen, we just went for a hike last week. That was awesome. The problem is when you're having these kids who don't want to walk anymore and you're trying to make them go, and it's like, oh, just they take their bikes, and by the end of it, I'm carrying 4 bikes home. And that's what ends up happening. But when my wife and I go for a walk ourselves, it's pretty intimate. Listen, you can go for coffee with somebody and say, hey, it's me for coffee, have coffee, and leave. But man, when you go for a walk with somebody, you're kind of committed to it. Like you're walking side by side, you're having conversations, and you're going. And it's amazing because when you go for a walk with it, there's something different about it. You're going someplace together. You're doing something together. And it's interesting for me is that I believe in our spiritual life that we need to stop having these long, distant relationships with Jesus and start going for walks. Now listen, you can talk to your significant other on a phone and have conversations. You can do it by text. That's great. But at some point, when you want your faith to grow deeper, you and Jesus need to go for some walks together. You need to start saying, Lord, how can, you know what I'm saying, let's go side by side. Lord, where are you going? Where are you at? And so I'm just going to give you something really simple today, and this is going to be really fast, and I just want you guys to see this. So how do we do this? How do we walk with the Lord? How do we have a relationship with the Lord? Number one is this. This is it. Number one. Point one, and it's the last point. You need to find your spiritual rhythm. It's amazing because when Jesus says, when you pray, he assumed that you're going to pray. He says, when you pray, pray like this. And so when you pray, think about this. What do you talk about? What do you talk to God about? Do you spend more time talking about others than yourself? Now think about that. I believe what happens naturally happens spiritually. If you spend more time talking about others than you do yourself in intimate settings, chances are you're going to do the same thing with the Lord. When was the last time you just had a spiritual conversation about, Lord, I'm not doing good. Lord, this is what's going on in my heart. Not just about, let's pray for them and them and them. Lord, they're rude. Lord, they're mean. Lord, they're a jerk. They smell really bad. I pray that they get deodorant. You know what I'm saying? But Lord, instead of praying, and it's good to pray for people. Like, we love the prayers, but when was the last time you prayed, what you met with God and said, Lord, what needs to be done in here? What is your rhythm with God? Because I'm telling you this, once you find your rhythm, your faith goes to a new place. What's your rhythm with the Lord? What's that rhythm look like? Every good, healthy relationship has rhythm. I believe it has this. When we're on our, Dan Palki and Max will tell you, when we were going on our hike to Everest Base Camp, our guide, it didn't matter how good you felt, gave us a rhythm, gave us a time. He says, when you walk, I don't care how good you feel, it's one, two, one, two. It's a rhythm. Because he goes, I don't want you to walk too fast and lose your energy. He goes, there has to be a rhythm to it. How are we going to walk? I believe every good marriage, I believe, is like a dance. Every good relationship, in the beginning, you might step on some toes, but you begin to learn this rhythm. You begin to learn what works and what doesn't work, when not to push, when not to challenge, when to hug, when to let go. And so, but I also believe, just like a good relationship, your spiritual walk in faith with the Lord needs a good rhythm. Now, it doesn't mean you got to be the same way every single day, but there needs to be a rhythm to it. I grew up in a generation that literally my youth pastor, every youth pastor I've ever had, told me the exact same thing. You got to wake up and do 30 minutes of quiet time every single day. 30 minutes of quiet time. You find your quiet time. Anybody else like that? Like, that's quiet time. You got to read this scripture verse. You got to do that. You got to do it this way. You know what I'm saying? This is what you got to do. Listen, I'm not saying that's bad, but over time I've learned what works for a few doesn't work for all. Just because that works in your relationship and your marriage doesn't mean that works in every relationship. Here's what I can tell you works in every relationship. Communication, honesty, commitment, staying loyal. These things work. And these things not just work in your marriage and friendships, but it works with the Lord too. Coincidence, huh? As we work in this rhythm with the Lord, so how does that look? I'll share this with me. My own rhythms when I'm walking with God. Now listen, I'm not saying this is every day. I'm just saying I wake up early. My kids wake up really early. My daughter Sadie and Charlie get out of bed like at 6:15 in the morning. I know if I'm going to have my alone time with the Lord in the morning, I got to get up before them because I will never get it once they get up. So I get up really early. This is me being vulnerable. Here we go. I get up in the morning. I make my coffee. Usually it's peppermint mocha. That's what I do in the morning. And I go get my sweet, if it's really cold, I get my blanket. And I even light a candle. It's like romantic almost. I'm just setting the mood here. And the top of it, this is a part that I don't like to be honest about, but it's so true. Ask my wife about it. Most mornings, I go on Netflix. You're gonna, like, you watch movies as you do your devotions? I said, no. There's actually a fireplace rolling video that I turn on my TV. So when I do my devotions, I can watch a crackling fire. So that's my morning. And then I pull out my journal, my personal journal, my prayer journal, and my Bible, and I just slowly, listen, I don't have a checklist of what I got to read. I just read and let God speak to me. I used to go through a Bible in a year, and here's what I found out. I started rushing through it, and there's like books of the Bible that I don't have a lot of highlighting and stuff because I'm trying to rush through it. And I feel like the last 2 years, all I'm focusing on is reading the parts of the Bible that I skipped out on. And I'm just reading it really slowly. That's my rhythm. That's what I do. Why you say, was it in there? No. Then if I go work out or if I'm driving, I listen to podcasts, I listen to sermons, do different things. I listen to a lot of worship. Here's what I just started doing. I do believe in reading the Bible through a year. I think it's really important. So instead of reading it through a year, I read my scriptures that I read every day, certain ones slow. And when I say that, some days I'm reading a chapter, some days I'm stuck on a verse, and I just can't get through it. You guys hear me on it? I'm not making, I got to read all this. Sometimes I just read one verse, and I just meditate on that one verse. What I'm starting to do, though, is I have this new goal that I want to listen to the Bible, the whole Bible in 1 year. Because we have a lot of drive time. And so I get in the car now, and I just put my headphones on, I put it on my phone, and I just listen from Genesis on. I'm just going to listen to it. I just want to become in my system. That's my new rhythm. I just started doing that. And so when I go for hikes, I go for walks, or I go work out, I listen to a lot of worship, I listen to a lot of podcasts. But here's the deal. There is stuff you can do. Can I just tell you, for many years, one of the new rhythms I had was, if I just had to get away, I go for a spiritual walk by myself. So I'm challenging you this. Don't do what I do. You can. It's up to you, but there's different things. Make your rhythms personal. You know why they call it a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Because it's personally yours in Jesus Christ. It's not anybody else's. You can model from somebody else, but it's yours. I don't walk with the Lord the same way that Benji Francis does. Not that I know of. I mean, I don't do it. I don't do it like Petra Bridges do it. I don't do it like Tracy and Jim. I don't do it. We all do it. It's differently for you and for me. But I will say this. Don't compare it, but just be challenged by it. Lord, what do you want me to do to walk in my faith? What's your new rhythm? What do you need to do to enjoy your time with the Lord? And my challenge for you is this. If you're bored in your faith, it's not his fault, it's yours. It's not him going bored, but he's the creator of the universe. I mean, he's not boring. We've made this boring. If there's not a rhythm to it, if there's not something that you're doing in being challenged, can I just say this? Change up something. If you've been doing it for 20 years and you're like, this is what I do, that's cool, keep it. But if you're going, I just don't feel like doing this anymore, then do something else. Maybe you start listening, or maybe you start doing something. But I challenge you today, find a rhythm with the Lord. Find something that challenges you. And you're saying, what's my rhythm? Sometimes my rhythm changes in seasons. But listen, no matter what I do, I don't take away my time with the Lord. Hear me out. I may change it, and I may change how it looks, but I don't take it off my calendar. The most important thing I do every single day, it wasn't consuming me, is when I spend time with the Lord. And people say this, and I'm going to be honest with you. People say, well, I gave God this half an hour in the morning, and I'm done for the day. What if I told my wife that? We haven't hung out today. Well, I hung out with you for coffee this morning, babe. That's good, right? No, through the day, I'm like texting her, checking up on her. Just while I'm talking, she's already texting me pictures of Sully at home. Like, we're communicating. And this is what I believe a relationship with the Lord looks like. It doesn't have an off switch and an on switch. It's not something you can categorize and compartmentalize. It's something that we walk through the day. It's something that when you go to the store and you go through the drive, that you think about, God, where are you at today? What do you want me to do? Where are you at? Where's my heart? How are you? What can I pray for today? What's going on? I have a meeting here in 10 more minutes. Lord, I just pray for that meeting. Lord, I had a bad test. Lord, I just pray, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, I'm going to talk to somebody about their marriage. Lord, I need you. And so many times in our days, we just say, God, I need you today. Religion gives you a set of rules. Jesus wants to go for a walk with you. The rhythm while we're walking, the rhythm of it. Maybe some ideas for you is this. Maybe you need to meditate and memorize a verse a day, maybe a verse a week. Maybe there's a verse that comes to your head. You just need to soak it in. Maybe I will challenge some of you. Some of you have amazing devotion time. Maybe some of you need to start writing down your devotions, because maybe what God is speaking to you in private, he eventually wants to reveal in public to others. Maybe you need to write it down in a journal, because your personal devotion may bring hope to somebody else. Maybe you need to start doing a devotion. Maybe this, I'll be honest with you, maybe your big next step is not just sharing what God is revealing to you, but you need to share that with somebody else. Can I just tell this to you? When you're passionate about something, it's easy to talk about it. I'm not trying to judge or anything, but I will say this. When you're in love with something, you talk about it. I want it easy for my kids to talk about the Lord. Now, listen, I understand it's challenging because of the work environments and we have this kind of stuff, especially when I'm talking to people who are close to my life. Listen, I just want to ooze out of my relationship with the Lord. Maybe it's for you. I know people who, as you're reading scripture, people are like, oh, you do that, they do that. But I know people who actually draw pictures in their Bible. I actually write stuff in my Bible, and I write dates in my Bible. Maybe for you, it's listening. Maybe it's for you going for a walk. I had a Dr. Anderson. Dan Brandon, you guys can come. I had Dr. Anderson, who was a president of North Central back in the day, say, I read the Bible every day, a little bit of time. And then one day a week, I spend hours with the Lord, like a date day. So that's pretty awesome. But I will say this, all great relationships take work. And not only that, if you want a great relationship, you have to create margin. You have to create space. You have to create time. You have to make it important. You have to put away time for it. I'm saying you make time. I believe this, when you have the most, and when you know it's a good time with the Lord, I would say this, it's a time when you check your gauges. It's a time, you go driving and all of a sudden your engine light comes on. You guys ever know that feeling, engine light comes on? It's a check engine light that reveals there's something going on. And the first thing you need to do is then saying, we need to diagnose what this problem is. We need to diagnose it. If it's blinking really fast, guess what? That's a bad problem. If it turns on and just stays on, then let's get it checked out. But I believe in our spiritual walk that we have those checks. That we have the dashboard. What's the dashboard saying? What's your spiritual walk saying in your faith? What's it saying right now? What's your heart saying to you? When you do a diagnostic check of your spiritual life, what's it saying? A heart check. Do I love him like I used to? Do I love others? Do I have the fruits of the Spirit? Am I impatient? Am I not creating space? Do I not care about my relationship with the Lord? Do I say things like, no one's going to know, it's in private? Am I saying things that's going to hurt my growth spiritually? All these things are kind of triggers of an engine check, a light coming on saying, are we healthy? We run a diagnostic. I'm not preaching perfection. I'm just praying, are you healthy? Jesus comes for relationship. Revelation comes from relationship. But relationship happens because we create margin. I'm here today. My wife is not here, but she's here. We're here today, and we serve the Lord. We can walk through death. We can walk through Sally's situation. We can walk through this. You know why? Because we've walked through other things. We've walked people through other things in our faith. We've seen God's gratefulness. We've seen God's grace. But can I tell you the most important thing? Because of revelation that God has showed us. I won't ever forget coming home. My mom used to work at the church I grew up in, and every time she'd work, she would open up if I ever wanted to use it, the sanctuary. So I'd go in the sanctuary, and I remember quite a few times after school, I'd feel distant. I would have an engine check light on my heart. I just knew things weren't right. I'd go in the sanctuary. There's nothing special about this. We're in a school right now. Nothing special about the place or the building. It's where you meet with the Lord. And I remember coming down to the altar by myself. Nobody else was there. It was pretty dark in the room. There wasn't any music on. I laid prostrate on the ground at the altar by myself. Nobody knew I was there. I was going through a hard situation. Just hard. I can't even tell you what it was. I just remember feeling like just alone, just that high school feeling, but just knowing my faith was in dire. I just said, Lord, I want to know you. I can't do this without you. I just need to know you. And I heard footprints. I heard somebody stepping. And I was like, great, here I am prostrate and a janitor wants to clean. You know what I'm saying? Somebody wants to come clean or pastor wants to use this or whatever. And I look up and nobody was there. And then I went back to praying, and as I'm praying out loud, I hear footsteps, and I'm like, what the world? Look up again, just kind of frustrated, and then hear nothing. I mean, then went back to praying. 3 or 4 times, this continued to happen. Felt closer and closer and closer. And I won't forget that moment as I'm laying there. I felt like the person was like on top, like literally walking over top of me. And all of a sudden, I just felt like this presence come over me. Just like, at that moment, I just felt like my body was sunk, and I just felt released. And I'll be honest with you, I just felt in that moment the Lord's presence was there. That loneliness I felt was gone. That striving for popularity was kind of gone. And it's like God spoke to me and said, listen, I've always been here. You just have to notice it. Listen, I don't know whose footsteps. It might have been somebody else. But what I do know is this, is that that day I had a revelation that God is real in my life and that he wants to do something fresh and new within my heart. It's not just that moment, it's moments along the way that I've shared on Sunday mornings before, moments that seeing people being healed or different things. And I'm telling you, we can have information all day long, but what we need is revelation. You need to hear something from the Lord. You need to be changed by his presence. Because when the enemy comes in and you feel like you're pushed against the wall, then you know who your Lord is. You know what he spoke to you. You know his promises. You know his faithfulness. You know these things. And say, listen, I've been through it before. He's going to get through me. He's going to get through it again. As long as I stick with him, we're going to make it to the other side. Amen? And just keep on pressing through. You keep on saying, God, I need a revelation today. You may open up scripture and God speaks to you. Revelation, God speaks to your heart. But I'm telling you, many people in this room are going through hard things. And I believe one of the goals of me as a youth pastor was I told my kids, you're not going to have me in college. You're not going to have your parents in college. It's going to be you, Lord and Holy Spirit. You need to hear the Lord's voice.